Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to Secret Artists, the podcast where comedians do art and have a chat. What's not to love? This week, I'm joined by the fantastic comedian Anya Magliano, and we paint some beautiful autumnal trees. So do enjoy and see you on the other side. Anya Magliano is a comedian whose debut show, Absolutely No Worries If Not, won Best New Show at the Leicester Comedy Festival this year and went on to sell out its entire run at the Edinburgh Fringe and the Soho Theatre. Anya has been on ITV2's stand-up sketch show as well as Dave's The Comedy Guide to Life, and I'm very excited about having her on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hello, Anya. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good. Just sort of grappling with having the intro read out.
Yeah,
which
horrible.
It's always difficult for both of us, isn't it?
Yeah, especially because I'm reading it off a piece of paper, not making eye contact with you.
Yeah. But I was looking away. I was glazed over, looking into the distance, being like, "Here are my achievements, I guess."
We've spent basically the whole weekend together.
Yeah, we've done, and this feels like we can't stop. Yeah. Now we're gonna have to keep going for the
every
rest
day
of the week.
Yeah. We played football together on Saturday, went to a bonfire party yesterday.
Yeah, does your hair still smell like bonfire?
I had to wash my hair this morning because I actually felt sick going to sleep last night because of the smell of bonfire. But I don't know whether it's because I ate marshmallows and drank quite a lot of Prosecco or whether it was the bonfire.
We kind of ate like a child's party.
Yeah.
Because there was like a glass of Prosecco interval filled with walk, pub lunch.
Yeah.
And then like
and then
sweets
lots of chocolate. And that you brought those giant marshmallows.
Yeah. Which I only ate two of them, and then I had to leave them at the person's house because I was like, I can't have these in my life. They'll ruin me.
I had one and it took me about an hour to get through. I kept putting it in
that
fire.
Marshmallow for ages. It was good though. I think I haven't really celebrated like bonfire night before, but I was like, why don't we? This should be one of the main ones.
It's so brilliant. Fun. Just setting fire to things and eating sugary treats.
I don't know like whether games are like as big a part of it as we had. Like, we did so many games yesterday, and I don't know whether that's normal for bonfire night, but that's kind of like the best part of any traditional day, I think.
Yeah, games in any event. I think there's not enough games at Christmas.
Yeah, there aren't really. I can't think of, there's like board games, but there isn't like...
There's not like shoving your face in a bucket of water with apples in it.
Yeah.
Someone showed me a photo of me apple bobbing from yesterday.
Yeah.
And Lisa, Charlie's mum, who was hosting it, is holding my hair back. And Liam Williams is holding the bucket of apples like quite near his crotch. And it looks like a sort of religious image, but
it's not comfortable to look at.
No, it's harrowing. Picture.
It feels really intense. It doesn't feel like a fun party game.
It looks like a torture scene.
You can't really tell that she's holding your hair. Obviously, we all knew that was happening, but it does look like she might be like
pushing me underneath the water.
But you got an apple very quickly.
Did you think? Well, my method was I saw what Charlie did and she went straight for the stalk and I thought that's a really good strategy.
Yeah.
So I went for the stalk as well.
I tried to go over and scoop an apple to the wall of the bucket and then sink my teeth in.
And did that work?
Yeah, after about like five minutes.
Eventually, yeah. So what have you chosen for us to paint today?
I've chosen like an autumnal tree.
Great.
Because I love them so much. I was thinking, I thought about, okay, well, I'll preface this by saying I'm not particularly like art-based.
Art-based?
I'm not particularly art-based. Yeah. I'm not like very comfortable with art, but the way I would do it, like, throughout my life would be to, like, learn something specific and then, like, try and do that thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember I had this book of, like, how to draw this, like, flower, which I've never seen in real life. I don't know if it was a real flower, but I just follow that until I could do it.
Okay.
And then I did that as well with my cat. I would do, like, lots of paintings of him in lockdown when I was bored. And so I was like, I want to do something that I haven't ever done before.
Great.
Of which there is a lot to choose from if it's not like my cat.
Anything that's not a
flower. And I thought about sunsets. I really like sunsets in a way that I think is like, it makes me feel like a sort of old fashioned, like, English poet, like looking at the countryside and enjoying the sunset. And then I also had that with autumnal leaves. And this year, for the first time, I like really noticed how weird the trees are when they start to go through autumn, and like the top is really red but the bottom is still green, and it looks like they're like loading and they've not like loaded properly.
It also felt like the leaves fell off the trees like too early, but the weather was still like really hot, but it was sort of half summer
and they've
half
all
autumn.
Gone bright red
when
it's sunny. It's really odd, but like, I don't know, this year for some reason I just like really vibed with the trees. I've got my phone is like full of pictures of them, because I was like,
same,
oh, looking through, like, maybe there's a specific one, and I was like, I've got so many pictures of trees, like, great, this is a bit mad.
So are we gonna work from a photo?
I don't know, I don't mind.
We
I
could
thought
do either. I mean, to be honest, I have quite a few of my own photos of
have
leaves
you?
On trees.
got a few trees.
So we could each paint from
a pic.
A picture that we've got.
I think that might be good for me, given that this is like a huge step forward from in sort of category for me.
I've got quite a nice photo of the apple tree in Charlie's garden from yesterday with the bonfire in front of it.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Maybe something like that.
And that's very autumnal. I'll show
it's
you
it's so autumnal.
Some of these guys.
Maybe I've got a better leaf one though. Let's have a look.
Look at that.
Oh yeah, gorgeous.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just showing Annie a picture of a tree where it's like very red at the top and then like kind of yellow in the middle and green. It's like a traffic light.
Yeah,
on a tree.
Nature is wild, actually.
Heard it here first.
I'll be the first to say it.
This one's quite cool as well. It's got that one's more spread through the middle.
Oh yeah, that's like nice. It's got a real like red core.
Yeah.
There's quite nice leaves on that underneath the firework.
Ooh, that's really cool.
Maybe it's, I'm doing half a bit of fire, half a bit of leaf. So, and that's a video of Liam Williams flossing with a sparkler in his hand with a backdrop of donuts on a string.
That's got to be a first for every part of that sentence. I don't know whether to do the tree that kind of goes down in colour, starts red, ends green, or whether to do the one with a bit of mix throughout. Also, I've never painted a leaf or a tree.
Great.
So
that's also quite cool.
Wow. You were taking some great photos.
I don't think
night.
I took that. I think someone else took that.
Claim it.
Okay,
claim
I think
it.
I might do a sort of tree inspired by a few different pictures of trees.
Yeah.
Also, the brushes are here, by the way.
Perfect.
So when's the last time you sat down and did a painting?
I think it would have been the one where I painted my cat.
In lockdown.
But I've started, like, I think because I enjoy the, like, creativity of something, but sometimes I find, like, painting a bit overwhelming.
Mm.
So I've got a scrapbook recently.
Oh, nice. Actually, I did hear you yesterday saying, I'm going to put this in my scrapbook.
Yeah.
And I thought, God, she's so young. I remember when I had a scrapbook.
I think part of scrapbooking as well is like having to tell everyone that you're doing it. That feels like a very important element of it. But because I like doodling.
Yeah.
That's something that's like quite accessible to me and very low pressure. And then I was like, and I like taking photos, so I thought this could be a good way to sort of marry those two things.
Mm.
And I have got a set of acrylic paints and like one of those little like art boxes where it's got like one of those people that's made out of wood that move, which like an ex got me shortly before the lockdown and shortly before the breakup.
Nice. a wooden figure to replace them.
But I've never known how to like use any of that stuff, and I think if I didn't learn it in lockdown, it's kind of hard to think, like, when am I going to have the time?
Yeah. When you doodle, do you have, like, a go-to thing that you do?
I do, like, a lot of, like, squares and kind of geometric shapes. And I remember when I was in primary school, I got this book from the post office. My mum, like, let me get it one time, which was a book of personality quizzes.
Yeah.
And it was like every different page was a different personality quiz. And one of the ones was what your doodles say.
Oh, interesting.
About you. And I don't think I doodled a lot at the time, but it was like, I remember how basic the sort of psychological analysis was. And it was like, if you mostly doodle hearts, you're a bit of a romantic. And it was like, if you doodle arrows, then you're always thinking of the future. And I remember being like, I don't think I doodle any of these things. Like, maybe I don't have a personality. And I can't remember what the geometric one was. It probably was like,
you're a real square.
Yeah. You're very serious.
I always do flowers.
Oh, do you?
Swirly flowers. I don't know what that says about me.
I've actually also always copied what other people do. Like, I remember at school, whenever I would sit next to someone who was like arty or would be doodling, I'd always copy what they were doing.
Interesting.
I think I don't have like that much artistic instinct myself, but I'm quite good at like copying people.
It sounds like you're quite mathematical to me, like the way you approach the sort of technicality of drawing your cat and stuff. And
if you saw the picture, you would not think maths had anything to do with it. I'm not mathematical like in any other areas of my life. But
what did you study?
I did English.
Same. Going back to the personality.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I feel like it was your idea yesterday when we were in the pub to look up these. Were they to do with our star signs?
Yeah, it wasn't actually I heard a conversation about it happening and then like my ears pricked up like right. A cartoon, and I was like, you've got to read this.
And can you explain what the quiz was?
Yeah, so I like have to say I don't really know much about it, but as soon as like someone tells me a new kind of brand of personality quiz or like astrology or anything, I will instantly do the test and like decide that it's completely accurate.
Have you done the Harry Potter one? Like which house?
Yes.
You're in? And which house are you in?
Guess which one?
Gryffindor.
No.
Hufflepuff.
No.
Ravenclaw.
No.
Slytherin.
Yeah.
Are you? Yeah. I would never have you down as Slytherin.
Thank you. I think it's...
guess what I am.
Slytherin.
No.
Why?
Only...
Yeah, straight over Slytherin is not really the way to go. Gryffindor.
No.
I actually don't know what the other two sort of mean.
No, I don't really know either. I think they're just, you know, everyone wants to be the main ones, don't
Ravenclaw.
They? No, I was Hufflepuff. Oh. And I was like, ugh, not Hufflepuff. And then did it three more times. Every single time got Hufflepuff.
Oh, so. God. Yeah, that's kind of inevitable.
So, yeah, the quiz yesterday was animal-based, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, though this was like, it was like a type of astrology, I think. It's called primal astrology. And basically the principle is that, like, your birth details correspond with an animal sign. But it's not quite like... It's like a bit more than the zodiacs. There are like so many animals to choose from.
Yeah.
Which we were discovering going through everyone's when.
Yeah. So you put in your like the year you were born, the month, the day. And everyone was getting like we went round the table and people were getting like honey badger and unicorn and swan. And what was your one?
Mine one was panther.
Panther, such a cool one.
Very, yeah, happy with that, actually.
And then my turn comes around and I get alligator. And the description is like sort of fine, sort of in line with the sort of thing everyone else was getting, although a much more vicious animal. And then it said the words deadly swamp beast.
Yeah.
Which felt harsh.
It did, especially because none of the other descriptions had, like, the animal characteristics in. So it definitely would. It took a turn. It
felt really loaded.
Yeah, and then that was levelled against you during any game that was, like, later played. It was not, like, a good ammunition to have. I think that one as well, obviously we were only being read, like, for the sake of time. I think we were only being read, like, the first few lines of the description. But I made... a group chat I was in do it And, well, actually, no, that's not true. I made them tell me their birthdays and then I did it mm-hmm. for them and then sent them the answer because, like, that's the only way you get things done
yeah.
with this sort of descript, like, this sort of hobby. And they're really long. Like, they're really in-depth, the, like, way they connect the animal to you.
Do you believe it?
I think I definitely, like, I always kind of want someone to be, like, telling me who I am.
Yeah.
And I quite enjoy that, but I don't believe it. And actually, I was listening to this podcast. My friend was recommending me some like new podcasts to listen to that aren't all comedy ones
mm-hmm.
because I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts, and I was like, oh, maybe I could broaden my scope.
Yeah.
And she recommended me one about like what stuff seems like a cult and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I started listening to the one about astrology, and the first thing that like professional, really renowned astrologist says is like, it's not a belief system. So like people who say they believe in it, that it's not like how you should think about it. It's a tool for understanding yourself and the world.
Oh right,
yeah.
And I so was even like, they're like, this isn't true.
Yeah.
Did you ever used to do paint by numbers?
I think so. Yeah. But I didn't do, like, wasn't there quite a phase of, like, lockdown? That was one of the, like self-care
adult
tips.
Colouring in.
Yeah, adult. I did get one of those books because I thought this would be a good thing, mindful thing to do.
Yeah.
But I never ended up doing it.
I like the idea of it, but then I find it too restrictive. I'm like, don't tell me which lines I can go
getting
in.
Really angry.
Yeah. I'm a bit more expressionist than you're allowing me to be.
I think it's... I think it makes sense as like a concept. I definitely would like to be told what to do. That's, I mean, same as my personality test. Yeah. It's like, just tell me who
tell
to
me
be.
Tell me who I am and what to do and what to be.
Tell me how to live my life. But with those primal, I don't know. I guess maybe anything like that, whether it's that one that we were doing about the animals or like astrology signs or whatever, it's hard to know, like, how, I guess it's how people interpret it and how, like, useful it is. But if you start being like, oh, yeah, this is an excuse for all of my bad behaviour, which I've actually sort of will not be held accountable for now, then it's like, maybe don't do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn off the lock. My phone keeps locking, so I'm going to turn off the lock.
Great. I love that for you.
Yeah.
Oh, what, because you need to see the picture, don't you?
I need to see the picture. Every time it locks, I'm losing valuable painting time. Okay, here we go.
And how was Edinburgh? That was your debut show, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was.
Did you enjoy being up there?
I did. I really enjoyed like doing a show to an audience who were kind of like there exclusively to see comedy.
Yeah.
And were kind of like just more up for it than any of the audiences I'd had in any of the like previews that I did or anything like that. And I really enjoyed doing my show. Like, I think, I don't know if you've had this in like the creative process of making a show, but like there was a point when I started making it where I was maybe doing a show that actually wasn't that like true to me.
Yeah.
And it was a bit more like manufactured and had like a bit more what I thought a stand-up show would be.
Yeah.
And then I kind of managed to get rid of that in time, and so by the time it got to Edinburgh, I was like, oh, this is a show I actually think is like a good representation of who I am.
Yeah.
So that's just like, it makes it a lot easier to do. I did find it like really exhausting. And I went into like proper like monk mode. I wasn't drinking, I wasn't staying out late, I wasn't doing any of the like fun kind of elements of the fringe that balances out the like insane
kind of. Did you have a good flat? Were you sharing with other stand-ups?
I was sharing with other stand-ups. It was good. It was really far away. We were in like this kind of manky student accommodation that was like a 35 minute walk away from my venue, which I think is just too long to be doing four times a day.
Yeah, it's nice having somewhere where you can pop back after your show and get changed.
Yeah,
or
that
dinner
was the
and
thing. Because I sweat so much on stage.
Yeah.
That's something I've learned about myself. It's really horrible. And my room was really hot. I had to I like panic bought a fan one day after the show because I was like, I cannot be feeling the sweat drip out of my dungarees as I'm on stage.
Where were you? Were you in the Pleasance?
Yeah, I was in this room called Bunker 3, which is like a relatively newer one.
Yeah.
And it got hot. It's like a little oven, those rooms. But yeah, it was, I brought like a change of clothes. I brought like a change of clothes to wear like kind of every day of the week, so I'd only have to do like a few washes. But then the only pair of like short dungarees I had to end up wearing like every day on stage.
Oh no, dungarees on stage is a bold call.
Yeah, also because I like one of my anxiety things right before a show is that I need to wee so much.
That was my first thought when you said dungarees.
Yeah, it was a tricky. I managed to get into like a really kind of military system of like shaking them off my shoulders and like it was quite impressive. I think like I learned a lot of like general life skills in that. But you weren't in Edinburgh, did you miss it?
I missed it a bit, but I was sort of glad not to be there as well. I came up and visited, which was fun, and did a few gigs. But I wasn't really sure how this year would be after COVID, so I quite wanted to just sort of observe from afar and not rush up until I felt like I had a show that I wanted to do.
Yeah, that's a very smart way of doing it.
And also it's so expensive this year. Like, I'm not surprised you were living further out because rent was just crazy.
Yeah, because this was like a student accommodation that was like subsidised for performers, and it was still like more than I've ever, like nearly double what I've paid.
Was it near the trampoline park?
Oh, it was opposite the trampoline park.
I stayed there when I last went.
Yeah, how did you find that?
It's quite a weird area.
Yeah,
did you walk
really
past the Lady Boys of Bangkok every night?
Oh, is that big yeah, I think I did actually. Yeah.
I mean, it's fun being near like the trampoline. Did you go trampolining?
No one would go with me. And really? I was like, I actually can't get to a point in my life where I'm going to a trampoline park alone.
No, that's a shame. I lived with Lou Sanders and we went in that trampoline park a lot. And fun to be near the cinema and a swimming pool.
Yeah, I didn't get to go to the cinema either. I did go to the swimming pool. I went to the mini golf.
Oh,
there.
Nice.
But I did like on the first day have a lot kind of sort of grander ideas about how many leisure activities I'd be doing.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you were focusing on the show, which is probably a good thing. And do you think you'll go back next year?
Yeah, I will. I think actually also something I really enjoyed, which I think is like something that's always good to remember after like a kind of grueling period of your career, is that like I say grueling, of obviously like an hour of work every day comparatively still not the most strenuous thing you could be doing, but like is that it did make me a lot better, like in a way that just doing sort of smaller gigs around the country had, like it felt like it was like a shortcut of like, oh, I've learned how to deal with a lot more different things now.
Yeah, definitely. You adjust to different audiences and just being in the habit of being on stage for an hour a day.
Yeah, yes. And so I was like, oh, that was really, actually what happened was I had a 10-minute gig on the first Saturday back from Edinburgh, and I was like, I can't remember what I do in 10 minutes, actually. And I was like, I listened to the last 10-minute gig I did before I left, and I was like, oh my God, I was so, like, flabby. Like, a lot of my jokes were so flabby, and so, like, it kind of made me realise how much stuff had sharpened up.
That's good.
I was like, thank God I got something out of this insane investment.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was like, when did you come up?
Sort of towards the end, maybe the penultimate weekend.
Okay, so you weren't there for the like horrible bin strike.
I was, yeah.
Oh, you were there.
I came up especially for the bin strike. Yeah, that was hideous, actually.
That was like a really like apocalyptic way to end that month.
Yeah.
The bins like literally overflowing onto the street, and then anytime
train strikes as well.
Train strikes. Oh God! So like more people there, less audiences, but like lots of people, lots of rubbish. And I always felt like it was really funny. I saw lots of people doing this as well, and then also did it loads when you're like walking in between gigs or something, and you've got a snack, and you're like, I need to put some rubbish in the bin, but it's just sort of like
just throw it on the floor.
Yeah, it's just like a 4-meter square like pile around the nearest bin, so you kind of like delicately like try and balance it in a way that doesn't look too disrespectful.
Yeah. In terms of art, do you have something you do to relax? I mean, obviously, you painting isn't necessarily what you would go to as like a hobby to relax, but is there something else that you do, or is writing your like way of relaxing?
Writing isn't, well, I guess it depends. Like, I wouldn't say writing is like fully relaxing for me, but like I do like journal if I've got like a kind of brain problem, mm-hmm. like a something that I'm ruminating over.
Yeah. I guess your scrapbook, would that be a form
of... My scrapbook, yeah, I hope it will. That's very, like, fairly new, mm-hmm. Because I was like, I do think I want something creative that's, like, visual.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, other stuff. I think I maybe, like, doodling whilst I'm doing other stuff is, like, a kind of way of calming myself down, like, whilst I'm doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, sit down and do a lot. But... I think it's something that I would find relaxing if I didn't like put pressure on myself to have to make something good.
Yeah, that's you're always quite what's a hard. Perfectionist.
Yes.
Have you always so. Been? Or
I don't. I think at school I had a little bit more of like a tendency to be like, oh well, if I'm not good at this thing, then I don't even care about it. Like I don't even care right. about chemistry. I don't even care
God,
about
I hated
maths.
Chemistry.
Yeah, chemistry's awful.
That was my worst subject.
Was it?
Yeah.
I think it was one of mine. But I think maths was also mine, and then chemistry and maths kind of bedfellows.
Yeah, I didn't mind maths, actually. I quite liked it.
Oh,
but
really?
Chemistry, for some reason, just didn't click until I had a teacher who I fancied. And then I'd go for like extra help at lunchtime. But I don't think that was much to do with the chemistry.
A different type of chemistry.
Yeah, exactly.
Did it was a chemistry teacher that you fancied?
Yeah, and then
that's
I actually,
so rare. I feel like chemistry teachers is one of the least sexy teachers.
Yeah, I guess he was young-ish.
That's all you need at school, isn't it? Just like vaguely, yeah. Vaguely.
But then when I finished school, I was working at a restaurant, and he came in with his boyfriend, and I had to serve them dinner. Being like quite sad.
Oh well, shame that he's taken, but you know, he could be bi. There could still be a chance.
Yeah, I think that ship sailed. I'm sort of over it as well.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
I'm over it, Anya. Okay.
Desperately waiting to bring it up. Yeah. Our teachers, I think ours was like, because I went to an all girls school, like it was, yeah, any male teacher who, you're right, was like young was sort of the main criteria.
Yeah.
And that was kind of all that mattered. But our selection wasn't great, actually.
Did you have a teacher you fancied?
There was like a kind of heart, like a teacher who kind of people generally fancied.
Yeah.
But then he did actually have like an affair with a student and lost his teaching license.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And that kind of like pops the illusion a bit. When you're like, oh God, you were actually a predator.
Yeah, actually that happened with a guy at our school as well.
It does feel like there are way too many stories of it. Like, too many people have a story of it happening. That
yeah.
Like, feel there's something's gone wrong in the sort of system here. Where you were meant to be checking this.
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Do you have any favourite artists, Anya?
Oh, well, actually, I wouldn't have previously known how to kind of like answer this question, but I feel like I've kind of like changed my fundamental understanding of art. in like quite a simple way. It's like my boyfriend is a bit more into art than me and like has grown up with it a bit more. And I think I was like looking at art and seeing like being and seeing it and then thinking, oh, like, what's it about? What does it mean?
Yeah.
Like, am I missing something? Do I understand it? And he's kind of much more approaches it like being like, oh, what does it make me feel like?
Yeah.
Which is something that I guess you can't really get the answer. Maybe that's also like a perfectionist. This is very therapeutic. I feel like this is like a therapy session.
Oh, good.
but one of those like, yeah, that kind of change of being like, oh, what do I just like looking at this?
Yeah.
Rather than being like, have I understood it? Do I get what it's meant to be doing?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of snobbery in art and often people feel a bit alienated because they have slight imposter syndrome, like they should be thinking or feeling something. But I would agree that it's, you know, what it makes you think or feel is as important as what the artist intended.
Yeah, and so I think that's kind of like changed. Like, it's just meant that when I've gone to see any art recently, I feel like I've got more of an opinion on it, because before I wouldn't really like know what I was doing. Me and some friends went to Amsterdam recently.
Oh yeah, that looked fun.
Yeah, so it was very nice.
Were you gigging?
No, I was just on holiday.
Okay.
Which was amazing. And I think that was actually, I was thinking, I've got a lot of nice pictures of the sunset in Amsterdam and that was going to be one of my choices. But then I thought a lot of those sunset pictures also had nice trees. So
I'm enjoying doing this tree.
Yeah, me too. Mine does look like a fire at the moment. But
yeah,
I think
mine
it
just
become...
looks like a sort of blur of colours. But that's fine, I suppose.
I have a lot of great autumnal trees in Amsterdam, a lot of great canals. But we went to the Van Gogh Museum.
Yeah.
I've actually changed the way I've said it every time, whether I've gone for Van Gogh or Van Gogh.
Yeah, I say Van Gogh, but a lot of people do say Van Gogh.
I'm sort of keeping him on his toes by changing.
Yeah, you've got to.
Changing what I do.
I feel like Americans say Van Gogh.
Yeah, that feels like that might
be. I don't know what he would have said. And I can't ask him, so there we go.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Did you have a favourite painting in the Van Gogh Museum?
I had a few that I like. I had this kind of impulse, which I like. I took photos of some of them because I wanted to remember them, which I like haven't really done before as well. Because I thought, oh, I really like this painting, like, and then I got some postcards of some of them in the fantastic gift shop. Mm. Where I also tried on some sunflower perfume,
sunflower
themed perfume, and I was like, God, they are really sort of monetizing every aspect of it.
And what did it smell like?
It actually was really nice.
Really?
I don't really know whether it was like actually based on what sunflowers smelt like, but it smelled really good.
I don't actually know what sunflowers smell of. I feel like they don't have a very potent...
It probably was artistic license. I liked, there was one of like a little flower in a jar, which I liked. I liked this one he did of some garlic and onions.
Right.
And there was a few like autumnal sunset, kind of, not sunset, like golden hour, autumnal scenes at golden hour when he moved to the countryside after he'd, I'm going to get like the history wrong, but after he'd been in Paris for a bit and then was like, I'm going to go to the countryside and paint now. But it was really cool because I obviously kind of knew who he was. I knew that he was famous for painting some flowers. Like, that was genuinely about as far as my understanding went.
Yeah.
But I also hadn't seen any of his paintings like close up, which I think is like a huge like difference.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
They're so colourful and great and
so sort of thick the way he applies paint.
So that was kind of like I really loved it, and I was like, oh, this is actually like making me feel happy, which is nice. And it was a really like well done museum, like, because obviously he had like towards the end of his life it gets a bit like bleak, but it was like kind of interesting. They kind of gave you the right amount of information without like sort of hamming it up too much.
Yeah.
And also they had like a lot. The great thing about that one was they had a lot of labels. When they had the labels, they'd be kind of more factual rather than explaining a potential meaning, which
yeah,
I think is also good if you get worried about like not understanding things properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also went to the Rijksmuseum.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of, I always say his name is Remembrandt, but I know that it's Rembrandt.
Yeah.
Remember the 5th of Remembrandt. And I hated his vibe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was, I had like a really strong reaction of being like, I wasn't blind to the like technical achievements of what he did, but I was like, I am so bored of looking at all these guys.
Yeah, was it the subject matter rather than the style of painting?
Yeah, though also I think because the style, maybe it's tied up with the subject matter, but because they were quite dark and I'd just seen all this like bright Van Gogh.
Yeah.
And it was just these like dark guys in a room. I was like, why is it all so dark? Why are they all looking at me?
Yeah, it's funny that when you look at portraits and the eyes sort of follow you around the room.
Yeah, I didn't love it. But that was quite good to have like an experience of like one where you're like, I really don't connect to this actually.
Yeah.
After having one where you do, so that you're like, oh, I do actually, I guess this is what having taste is.
Yeah.
It's like changing my opinion on stuff.
You've used the same paintbrush the whole time, I've noticed.
Oh yeah. I forgot there are other paintbrushes. Maybe I'll go for a different paintbrush for the sky.
But yeah, there are more in there.
I also think I've updated my idea, because the picture I'm painting from is like this tree, really beautiful tree, and there are some Southwark Council bins in front of it, so
ooh,
I'd like to include those.
Yeah, nice, the contrast of nature
and bin.
Bin. Man-made waste.
Yeah.
Decay, etc.
That's it. That's the sort of like tag that would be next to it in the museum.
Yeah.
In the Rijksmuseum, that was quite cool because they had like a lot of like tags that were kind of updating it with the kind of more like context of like slavery and like colonization,
mm-hmm.
which is like something that I haven't seen in like a museum before.
Mm.
It's like adding extra stuff onto the explanation, which was like a better way to be doing it than to just not include it at all or to
definitely. Do you own any art?
Oh god, yeah. So my flatmate, who I actually mentioned on so many podcasts, is actually a bit weird, but he's not anymore because he's like moved more into like doing film stuff.
Mm.
But he was like framing for a while.
Oh, cool.
He did a lot of like custom made frames. He did a framing course and just loved it. And then so just started framing.
That's where the money's at.
Yeah.
It's such a good idea to do a framing course.
So
I wish I'd done
expensive
that.
To frame something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And getting a nice frame, like also the thing I didn't really realise was that like getting a nice frame does make a huge difference.
Yeah, it can make or break a painting.
Yeah.
Like a shit frame is just, there's nothing worse.
And so he like has a lot of nice, cool art and has it framed nicely. Mm. And so I was like, oh God, I need to get some stuff to put on the walls, but I don't know where to get it and I don't know what I like. At this point, this was like just over a year ago before I'd had my art revolution.
Yeah.
And I just like found some random website where I think it was like a collection of paintings from like maybe various like museums, but you could get prints of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ordered some absolute shit, like, and it's up in the house and it looks awful.
What,
a lot
have you
of
got
it.
Like the black and white builders on a skyline?
No, not that bad. Not that level, kind of more like
Eiffel Tower.
No. print of New York where the taxi's in yellow, that
yeah.
sort of thing. No, it was kind of like just really weird. Like one of them is like a sort of, it looks like a scene of like an apocalypse, but this and the sun is like looks evil and the ground is like opening. I don't know why I got that. I got this one of like a horrible cat on like a bright orange background, but like in a really ugly orange that hasn't come out of the tube. It's still in the tube that it came in the back of the room.
Horrible.
Did I get any good ones in that batch? I got one cool one of like a big pumpkin. Which I like, and that's
so did you just order them all at the same time? Were you like, I need some art, and then just like,
yeah,
click, click,
I ordered
click,
like
click.
Three, and I guess that's maybe the problem, is that I feel like the stuff that he's got and the other people have got is like cool stuff that they've collected over time, because it's like stuff that they've connected to,
and I guess probably has a bit more meaning than
than my panic. Oh yeah, oh, there's absolutely no, I'm not, yeah,
than just doing an online shop for some art.
It's kind of hard to know, like, because the other art that I do have is actually stuff that I've got. I got at the last time I went to see the, oh god, why can't I remember his name? Oh, my head is saying James Blake, but that can't be right.
Musician.
No, at the RA.
Oh right.
I wasn't even close.
Oh.
Francis Bacon. Very different vibe to what I was saying.
Yeah, I love Francis Bacon.
Yeah, that was cool stuff that I liked.
Violent heads. And
yeah, really weird vibes. But I guess when you don't like interact with art a lot, it's kind of hard to collect it. Also, it's quite expensive. Yeah.
Oh, it's very expensive. Oil or watercolour?
Oil.
Portrait or landscape?
Landscape.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
Oh, God. to an extent. Is that allowed as an answer?
Tortured artist or rational mathematician?
Rational.
Italy or Poland?
I was going to say Poland because I'm Polish, and I was like, oh, I'm Italian as well.
Yeah, I thought you were.
Yeah, oh, that's hard. Italy, definitely.
Milk bottles or cola bottles?
Milk bottles.
Talk about or think about art?
Think about.
Looking at a painting close up or far away?
Close up.
Private view or view of privates?
Oh, view of privates.
Painting from life, landscape or still life?
Oh, I don't know if I've done it. I'll go landscape.
Art or music?
Art.
Art or books?
Books.
Comedy or art?
Comedy.
Thank you very much.
I did look into life drawing modelling once because someone said it was a really quick way to make a lot of money.
Yeah, I guess it is quite good money, but I think, yeah, you've got to be all right with doing it.
Yeah.
I love life drawing. I'm going tomorrow, actually.
Are you? Where do you do it?
I haven't been for ages, but I'm going to one in Angel with a school friend. We both did A-level art, and she just suggested it the other day. So
that's so nice. Yeah, and that, I guess maybe I would find a way to do it like more relaxing if you're kind of in a situation where it's happening. Because I think maybe like sitting down, I'm not at a stage where I would be like, oh, I'm going to sit down and do this myself, Ari painting, etc. Yeah. But if you're like in a class or like with a limited amount of time and it's already decided what you're gonna be drawing or painting, that's quite nice.
Yeah, you like people telling you what to do.
Yeah.
we've established this.
This is actually, yeah, I don't think anything has ever come through as clearly from something that I hate decisions.
Right, I'm nearly ready.
I'm just filling in some sky section.
Okay, what I'm gonna do is just sign mine. Will you sign yours as well?
Ooh, yes. I really liked only using one paintbrush.
Yeah, it can be quite sort of freeing.
Yeah, I think that decision, like that's another facet of like me just taking out as many decisions as I need to.
Are you quite indecisive then?
Yeah,
as a person?
Really indecisive. Really, but that's part of anxiety, I think, is like worrying about what decision, what impact your decisions will have.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh my god, yours is amazing.
Oh, wow, I love that.
That is so cool.
I love yours. I love you. Yours actually looks like an autumnal tree.
Yeah, I feel like I managed to get somewhere with the colours just by being that I'm only gonna use a few.
You've nailed the leaves. I love the brush marks.
Thank you.
I love that you've left like gaps in between.
Thank you.
And it sort of looks like a snow scene as well, because of the white and blue.
Yeah, that was just actually a result of running out of time.
I really like the bins as well.
Yeah, the bins. I'm glad I included the bins.
Very
cool. Compared to the picture, it's quite different, but...
I like it. I prefer the painting to the picture,
actually. Thank you.
Yeah, it's
great.
Yours
is amazing. I don't understand how you managed to make the paint do that.
I just slapped it on, basically.
Is that making it really thick?
Yeah, I tried to make it thick, but then I ran out of paint.
It does look autumnal, I think.
Do you?
The red and the... The orangey, I think, are like the crucial colours that I only associate with autumn. So just having that in there is great.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, I enjoyed that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an amazing way to start the week.
It's nice.
Lovely, calming thing to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And is there anything you want to plug? I know your show is this week, but I think the podcast will come out after that.
So. Yes, I'm doing my show in some other dates around the country. The places I'm doing are Cambridge,
nice.
Bristol,
nice.
Manchester, well actually Salford,
yeah, great.
And Brighton.
Yeah.
And the dates are on my website, but they're all like sort of March, April next year.
Great.
So that's you're
get
invited
tickets.
To that.
It's a brilliant show and she's great.
Thank
she
you.
You are great. All right, I'm gonna say goodbye then. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, remember to review. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell anyone you like who you think will enjoy it. If you want to see mine and Anya's paintings from the episode, then follow Secret Artists on Instagram and Twitter at Secret Art Pod. Anya is on Twitter at Anya Mags and on Instagram at Anya Magliano, and her website is www.anyamagliano.com. So check out her tour dates. She is very, very funny indeed. So get tickets for her show. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye. Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.